This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will encourage you, make you think, and will bless you. If you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You might want to send me your address so I can send it on to the subscription list, put you on the subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. I'll be happy to do that for you. My programs are archived on the website. You can re-listen to them there. And also my weekly meditations are on my website. So if you want to contact me either by email or through the Postal Service, you'll want to write my addresses down at the close of the program. Now today, we're going to continue our work in Acts chapter 5, and we're going to look at what happened after Ananias and Sapphira were disciplined, and also after they continued to do to heal and to do miracles that the people were observing at that time. It's interesting that the last time we noted that there was fear in the church, and we ask the question, who do we fear? Do we fear the people or do we fear God? And we noted that fear is not something that we often speak of in the church today. And when we do speak about it, we often equate fear with just a reverence for God, an awe for God. And oftentimes fear is associated with an awe or a reverence for God. But in this particular case, and often in the Bible, the fear of God had to do with actually having fear and trembling, or a sense of dread connected with the things that were going on. And because Ananias and Sapphira were disciplined the way they were, fear came upon all the church. I'm sure that if that kind of discipline, where people who lied were immediately judged in our day, if that kind of discipline were being carried out in our day, there would be a great deal more reverence in the church, and there would be a great deal more reverence for God, and there would be a sense of fear, for fear that we ourselves would be caught up in a sin that God would in fact judge. There would be a more holiness in the church. Now, it is true that God does not really work in that way in our day. As near as I can tell, I'm not saying that people don't get judged for their sin, in a sense that if you smoke, you may get lung disease, and if you drink, you may get liver disease, and cancer may be the result of those things as well. But there are a lot of people who don't drink or smoke or live immoral lives that also get some of these diseases, and so it's hard sometimes for us to discern the difference between God's general judgment on sin that has come into this world just because sin is here, and the judgments of God against specific sin. And I think we as the people of God need to be careful that we don't automatically assume that when something happens in an untimely manner to somebody we know, that it is the judgment of God. We need to be careful. It may be, but when we as parents chastise our children, we always tell them what they're being chastised for. And if people have things happen to them and they don't know what they're being chastised for, it seems to me like the chastisement or the punishment or the discipline would be very little value. It would just make us a little paranoid. So I think God will tell us when the things that He's punishing us for are being judged. And if that's not the case, then we need to recognize that the general condition of the world is a condition of sin, and we need to fear God, because we never know when sin itself is going to be the cause of some calamity, such as in Haiti, that might overtake us. We need to prepare to meet our God. We need to make sure that we don't boast about tomorrow and assume that we're going to have tomorrow, for we don't know what a day may bring forth. We need to be prepared because of the general nature of problems that are in the world because of the general nature of sin. But even though the fear came upon all the church, it's interesting as we go down through this next section that there doesn't seem to be much fear on the part of the religious leaders, who would be unbelievers, who would be opposing the things that the apostles are presenting as truth, particularly the things that Peter would be preaching at this time. And so our question today isn't so much who do we fear, but it's who are we obeying? Are we obeying man, or are we obeying God? Now, Acts 5 and verse 17 says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation." They were angry. "And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said," and here's their marching orders, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." So they were told specifically to preach in the temple. And of course the temple's where the religious leaders are going to come to. They are going right back into the lion's mouth to carry out these marching orders, aren't they? And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. They were obedient. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together and all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest and captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people. Now notice again, they didn't fear God, but they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. They didn't fear God, but they feared the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." In other words, they were thinking that because they were pointing out the fact that the Jewish leaders had crucified the Lord, they were going to make the Jewish leaders accountable. But they were already accountable. These men couldn't bring this man's blood on them because it was already on them. And isn't it interesting how that when we make mistakes, when we are rebellious, when we disobey, we always want to blame somebody else for it and make sure that if we have committed a sin and somebody tells somebody about it, the person who tells about the sin is the one who's committing the error. That's just the way we work. That's the way these people work. Been all right if nobody would have said anything, because nobody would have known, but God would have known. And so when he says, "You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us," they were not being realistic, because God already knew all about what they had done. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree, and we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." They were going to these religious leaders were going to show the apostles who was in charge, and they forgot that the Lord was in charge. And so Acts 5:33 says, "When they heard these things, they were furious and plotted to kill them." They just didn't realize that you cannot resist God. But it is interesting that as we go down through this section, the main point is that the apostles did what the Lord asked them to do. They obeyed the Lord rather than obeying, in this case, the authorities that had told them not to do what they were going to do. Now, we have problems with that today because we are told in the Bibles to obey the authorities and to pray for them and to recognize that governmental authority has been established by God. We are to pay our taxes, for example. Some people think that we shouldn't, but we are to pay our taxes. That doesn't preclude us from paying a tithe or giving a portion to the Lord as well. But even though the government does not always use our taxes the way we would like to have them use it, and even though they use them in wars sometimes that we aren't too happy about, we are to pay our taxes. Even the Lord paid the temple tax, which was more or less a religious tax, rather than trying to avoid those burdens. He says, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. Render unto God the things that are God's." And so we know that We are to pay taxes. We are to give our governmental leaders honor. And as Christians, we can criticize their policies, but we can't defame them. And I think we need to be reminded of that at this time, because there's an awfully lot of Christians who are using language with regard to our current leadership that, in my mind, is very slanderous. And I think we need to call President Obama President Obama. I think we need to pray for him. I think we need to show him reverence and honor, even if we totally disagree with the policies that he is pursuing. We need to be careful, particularly in public, that we do show him honor. I think Paul makes it clear, and Peter makes it clear, that we're to give honor to those whom honor is due, and at the time both of them wrote, probably Nero was on the throne. So we have to be careful. Some people say, well, whenever the government is doing something I wouldn't do, we have the right to disobey. Well, no, I don't think that's true. It has to be when they keep us from doing what the Lord has asked us to do, and particularly when they keep us from preaching the gospel, that's when we probably have to obey. And so the apostles were very bold. They carried out what the Lord asked them to do. And by doing that, they knew that the Lord would be with them. The Lord had opened the prison and told them, when he opened the prison, "I'm opening the prison, I'm setting you free to preach the gospel." And they went right back to the place where the Jews would find them, because the Lord really did love the Jews, and he did want them to hear the gospel, and he wanted them to repent and to come to faith in Christ. He wasn't going to bring his kingdom into being for them immediately. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom, but he wanted the Jews involved in that. And so the message went to the Jews, and the Lord and these men went right back, and in obedience to the Lord, they went into that temple and began to preach. And it just made those who had their minds made up, these religious leaders, angry. But Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, the Lord asks us to go into all the world and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, when we do that, then we can be confident that he is with us always, even unto the end of the age. We don't have the problems with persecution that, at least in the United States, that they had there. But the persecution is still subtle, and there is a societal criticism of those who take the name of the Lord publicly and proclaim his gospel publicly. And yet we have to obey God rather than man, because the souls of men and women are at stake. So we trust that we'll be faithful in proclaiming the word of God, even in places where we are told that we should not do that. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just ask thee to bless all that has been of thyself today. Bless our listeners. You know what the needs are that are present in our audience. We trust you'll meet them. We just commit ourselves into thy loving care, in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.